Well, let me ask you this to get started today. Let me ask you this. How's your tea? How's your tea? T-E-A. How's your tea? Did that throw you off? Was that like a total curveball? Like what? Let me ask this question. How many of you even like tea? T-E-A. How many people like tea? How many go with the iced tea? Your iced tea, okay? How many of you crazy people like the sweetened tea, the sweet tea? All right, no, that's okay. It's okay. If you like sweet tea, all right, it's okay. All right. How many of you like some warm tea? You go with the warm. Yeah, that's me. How about the Starbucks latte tea, chai tea? No? Is it just me? That's like the only thing I know how to order in Starbucks, because I feel like to order in Starbucks, you need to speak in tongues. It's like really strange. Like, let me get a caramel macchiato. You know, like you just got to go into tongue speaking. So I only know how to order one drink, and I love that drink. If you ever want to surprise me with a Starbucks drink, it is the... Let me see, chai latte, all right? So make sure chai tea latte, and it's a venti. Venti is the one I want, all right? Anyhow, but how do you like your tea? Or rather, how is your tea, T-E-A? Now, you might have thought that I'm going crazy right now. I'm not, actually. I'm not going crazy. I just want you to use the word tea to remind you of some foundational truths of your faith. I want you to wake up in the morning and be thinking about tea. How can I be a better believer? How can I be a more godly believer? And I want you to think about the word tea. T-E-A. Each word, each letter means something. I want you to know this. In the Old Testament, God chose the people of Israel for a very specific purpose. He chose them so that he could showcase his glory through them. He wanted to show his salvation through them. Now, because they were disobedient, that never really flourished. They never got to really see the glory of God that way. I mean, although they had instances of seeing the glory of God, but God wasn't able to really showcase all that God has for humanity through them simply because they were disobedient. Now today, us, the New Testament church, we also are to glorify God and to be God's display of how God can bless a people when those people obey him and those people live according to his purposes. Now, if we're honest, sometimes we haven't lived up to the expectation. Let me be even more honest. Many times we haven't lived up to the expectation. We haven't really lived up to the expectation of allowing God to showcase his glory through our obedience. Did you know that God, he wants us to obey, but there's a reason he wants us to obey. The reason is that he wants to bless you. The reason is that he wants to bless us. And the only way that God can bless us and showcase his power through someone is through our obedience. When we obey, God can bless. When God blesses, the people can see his blessing on our lives. That's the way it works. It turns out that God don't bless no mess. A lot of us, we want to live out a mess and we want God to bless it. We want to live in sin and we want to be blessed by God. I'm sorry, my brothers and sisters, it just does not work that way. God wants us to be obedient, and in our obedience, he can bless us, and in our blessing, he can showcase to the world, this is what I can do in someone's life when they obey me. That is just the reality. But too often, we've been criticized. We've been criticized, and the criticism that's leveled on the church too many times, whether it's fair or not, is that of hypocrisy. That the church is full of hypocrites. Now, they're not talking about New Walk, because I know they better not mess with New Walk. So they're not talking about you, but the church out there. Other Christians out there, not the perfect ones in New Walk, those out there in other churches. Christians are hypocrites. I am determined, using the word T, T-E-A, to walk you through how we can be obedient to God, how we can live a life that honors God, so that in our obedience, God can bless us. How many want to be blessed by God? I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed by God. But I don't just want to be blessed by God so that I have all these great blessings. I want to be blessed by God so that people can see God, how God can truly do a work in someone's life when he blesses them. James writes in James chapter 1, if you want to go there, James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27, he gives us what I would call the word T to help us in that endeavor. This is what he says. James 1, beginning at verse 19 through 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Just look at your neighbor and say, hey, let's be quick to listen. Go ahead, tell them. Let's be quick to listen. Go ahead, you can say it. Let's be quick to listen. Let's be slow to speak. Let's take our time speaking, and even slower to become angry. Tell them, don't get angry too fast. How many of you here have ever had a conversation with somebody and the person was angry before you even told them what you were going to tell them? Now, listen, if it's your spouse, don't even look at them. Don't even look at them. But sometimes you're talking to somebody and you're like, wait, you haven't even let me finish. I actually agree with you. Why are you arguing with me? But they're so quick to speak that, and so slow to listen that they don't even know, and so quick to become angry. The Bible says be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word, so to deceive yourselves. I tell you, that is so true. Sometimes we just heard something, or someone taught something, or we saw something, and immediately we feel like we know it. That's not true. James is saying, don't just listen to the word. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but rather, here's a novel idea, do what the word of God says. Don't just listen that James is saying be slow to speak and slow to become angry and quick to listen. Don't just listen to that. Actually do it. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law, and by the way, when you read the word of God, it's so important that you be intently looking at the word of God, that you take time and you really study this thing. It's okay to just read it sometimes as a devotional, but more often than not, it's better for you to just take your time and look at the law. Look at the word of God with intention, intently into the perfect law that gives what? It gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it. Do what the word of God says. And this is what the Bible says. If you look at the word of God with intent, intently, carefully, the Bible says you will be blessed. They will be blessed in what they do. If they don't just listen to the word, but if they do it, guess what? If we do what the word of God says, we are what? Blessed. Blessed. If we do what the word of God says, we are. I need you to say it. If we do what the word of God says, we are. Blessed. I'm going to be a little proud here, but I want New Walk Church to be blessed. I want people to look at our church and say, those are a blessed people. And then when people say, but why are they so blessed? And they look behind the curtain, so to speak. I want them to see us. And they say, you know what? But they just have a radical obedience to the word of God. They don't just listen to the word of God, but they do it. And we can go back to March 5th and we say, hey, you know what? We were okay blessed, but we've really got crazy blessed because on March 5th, my pastor preached about some tea or something. And that day, we decided to start doing God's work. We started doing rather than just hearing the word of the Lord. We started doing it. We started putting it into practice. And the moment we start putting it into practice, God began to bless us. But why did he bless us? Because we did the work, the word of God. We didn't just listen to it. Those who consider themselves religious, yet do not keep. And this is where he gets a little interesting, James. He says, if you consider yourself to be religious and do not keep a tight rein on their tongue, they deceive themselves. And their religion is worthless. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I want you to remember every morning you wake up, I want you to remember the word tea, T-E-A. In this passage, James gives us three simple things that if we just did these three things, our lives would be incredibly blessed. The first one, T, the letter T, to remind us of the word tongue. T for tongue. Tongue. What does James say about the tongue? He says, keep a tight rein on it. Keep that thing locked up. Make a little jail cell for that tongue and keep it in there. Be quick to listen, but slow to speak. Don't speak so fast. And that's hard for me because I'm Puerto Rican and we just talk so fast. But James says, you really want to see a difference in your life? Let's start with your tongue. Let's start right there with your tongue. He says that if you consider yourself to be religious, and by the way, the word religious there can also be translated as the word worshiper. So if you consider yourself to be a worshiper, to put it in more modern language, and yet you do not keep a tight rein on your tongue, you deceive yourself, and your worship or your religion is worthless. I know I got to get out of here, but I'm going to tell you right now. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21 that the tongue has the power of life and death. The power of life and death is in your tongue. In your tongue, with your words, with our words, we can either give life or with our words, we can totally destroy. And here's the interesting about that verse. A lot of us just read the first part of that verse, but we forget the second part. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, which is great, but, and it says, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know what it's saying? You're going to get the fruit of what you're sowing with your words. You're going to get the fruit of what you're sowing with your words. If your words are always critical, if your words are always nasty, if your words are always gossipy, guess what? It doesn't just hurt the people that you're talking about. It's also damaging you. You get to have the fruit of everything you've been sowing out there. You know, some people, they didn't get that promotion. And they're like, I don't know why I didn't get that promotion, because let me tell you something. Nobody does more than me around here. Nobody knows more than me around here. And let me just submit to you that maybe it's not about your talent. Maybe your talent is on point, but maybe your tongue needs to be locked up. It's about our tongue. If you give it out, it's going to come back and it's going to bite you. So you be careful with your tongue. James says it in James chapter 3. He also says, listen, you know, you guys with the same tongue that you bless God, you go out there and you curse people on 287. That same tongue. God is saying, no, you keep a tight rein on your tongue. Because if you don't, ultimately, you're not just hurting the people you're talking about. You're hurting yourself. It's not just about the attitude that you're giving out. It's about the attitude that comes right back to you. And some of us, we can't even take the heat. Like, we love giving it, but we like dishing it. We don't like getting it back. And let me tell you, sometimes you're just getting back exactly what you're giving out. But the good news is Proverbs 21:23, which says, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. You want to keep yourself from some trouble? You watch your tongue. You watch your mouth, young man. You watch your mouth, young woman. Like, we watch our mouths. I don't know about you, but I'm already upset at my own self for preaching this stuff. Like, this is hard. Like, you don't have to be upset with me. I'm upset. I don't even like that. Because I know, if I'm honest, I know that there's been a couple times I let it get the best of me. And you know what James says? James says something so interesting. He later on writes, and he says, you know what? Consider how we control horses by putting a bit in their mouths. Putting a bit in their mouth. A horse bit, I learned, is only about 5 inches, right? And a horse weighs at about between 800 to 1,200 pounds. And it's interesting to me that a 5-inch little instrument that doesn't even weigh a pound can move and steer the direction of a ginormous horse, 800, 1,200 pounds. You know, and then he says, and consider the rudder of a ship. The rudder of a ship, it steers where the rudder goes. I was looking, I got curious, and I said, well, what's the largest cruise ship you can find out there? It turns out to be Royal Caribbean's Symphony of the Sea, which is actually bigger than the Menlo Park Mall. Now, the rudder for that ship, is only about 78 feet, which is big. But you're talking about 78 feet moving the Menlo Park Mall and guiding where it goes. This is ridiculous. It's just a small thing. The human tongue, it's only about 3 to 4 inches. Some of you, I know what you're thinking. I know some people with a much larger tongue. But in actuality, it's only 3 to 4 inches. It's amazing how this little thing inside of our mouths can control the direction of our life. It's interesting that if we don't keep a tight rein on it, it can not just hurt people, not just hurt others, but it can hurt us. When you wake up tomorrow morning, I want you to think about your tongue. How am I going to use it? Am I going to use it to give life? Am I going to use it to kill? How am I going to use this tongue? Am I going to use it to damage someone? Am I going to use it to talk down on someone? How am I going to use it? And listen, I'm not talking perfection. I'm not talking perfection. But if we could all just have a little more mindset to saying, hey, you know what? My tongue. And by the way, these days we don't do all our talking simply with our tongue. We also do it with our fingers. We do it on our computers. We do it on the internet. We do it on social media. Let's watch that tongue too. Okay, that one sometimes is a little wilder than even this one. So let's keep an eye on our tongue, because it's not just destroying that way. It could be destroying us too. So T for tongue. E, empathy. Empathy. Look at what James writes. He says, religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this. Let me put it into modern language. Worship that God our Father accepts as a pure and faultless worship is this. I want to stop there, because I feel that, like, when it comes to worship, I feel we all have our different ideas of what's the kind of worship that God accepts. The Baptist will say, well, only Baptists, low-key guitar, piano worship, that's it. Us Pentecostals will say, no, it's got to be loud. Big speakers, big drums, it's got to be loud worship. The only kind of worship God accepts is definitely not, that's what we will say, maybe not the Baptist church, not the piano, not the organ. You know, we'll all have our different ideas of what kind of worship God desires and will accept. Some people say low-key, some people say high-key, some people say low, some people say high, exuberant. And James brings us to reality. He says it's not about the loudness of your worship. It's not about how low your worship is. The type of worship that God accepts as pure is this. What does he say? To look after orphans and widows in their distress. Now, I hope that catches you by surprise. Because while God, and don't get me wrong, by the way, I'm loud worship. That's where I stand. That's kind of like my MO. That's where I want to be. That's kind of me. Although I've seen God do some amazing things with just the piano too. Like I've seen God work. But it's not so much about the style of worship as much as it is about the heart of worship. And the heart of worship doesn't even start with a song. The heart of worship doesn't even start with that. It actually starts with a heart. And it says, you know what? You need to be caring for the orphans and the widows. The kind of worship that God accepts is the kind of worship that says, oh, wait. We have to make sure that we're caring for the orphan. We're caring for the widow. And more, listen, the orphan and the widow. I'm so blessed to have our missionaries here today that have an orphanage. To be honest, I wasn't going to preach this because they're here. It just so happened that way. But let me tell you something. The orphans and the widows are important. Why are they important? Because these are the people that typically can't give back whatever you give them. They can't always give it back. They're in a poor situation. They depend on others. And really, there's an ethic, a Christian ethic throughout the entire Old Testament and even into the New Testament where we must understand that God cares for the poor. And not only does he care for the poor, he wants us as his hands and feet to also care for the poor. As a church, we're thankful that we get to partner with missionaries. We're thankful that we get to say, hey, we're going to also give our support and extend our support. But let me tell you, that's only the beginning of what we should all be doing as God's people. That should be just a drop in the bucket. That should only be an encouragement for us as individuals to then go out and say, you know what? I also want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I also want to do something for someone in need. Our missionaries shouldn't just come here for them to say, hey, we need you to give. No, we should say, not only will we give, we'll also participate. And we'll also work together to care for the orphan, to care for the widow, to care for the poor. The Bible teaches us that to give to the poor, Proverbs 19:17 says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. That's one of my favorite Bible verses. That if you give to the poor, you're actually lending to God. How many of you know that God pays his bills? Yes, he does. I need more than one person to clap about that one. God pays his bills. God isn't like some of us that, you know, we don't want PSCNG calling. I'm just playing, right? God pays his bills. Not only does he pay his bills, he pays them with interest. That's what Proverbs 19 tells us. It says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. There is a blessing when you give to the poor. When you give to the poor, there's a blessing in it for you. You shouldn't give to the poor because there's a blessing, but just know that there is a blessing in there for you, that God won't let you outgive him. That God, if you give to God, God will give right back to you. God will not owe you a debt. Trust me on that one. Psalm 41, verses 1 through 3 says this. Blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble. The Lord protects and preserves them. They are counted among the blessed in the land. He does not give them over to the desires of their foes. The Lord sustains them on their sickbed and restores them from their sickbed of illness. You know what he's saying? He says, if you make it your business to protect the poor, he says, I'll make it my business to protect you. Oh, somebody does need to get that. If I make it my business to care for the poor, God will make it his business to care for me. And I know some of us here will say, well, listen, Pastor, thank you, but I'm one of the poor, and I need somebody to give me something. I will respectfully tell you, if you live in the United States of America, you are not among the poor. You're among the top 10% of wealthy people in this world. Do you know that over 3 billion people live on less than $5 a day? Over 3 billion, and some obviously live worse than that. Less than $5 a day. As you, listen, I'm going to mess you up here really bad. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I want the next time that you go buy your Starbucks coffee, talking about you ain't poor, you're poor. Next time you go pay for that Starbucks, I want you to think about the really poor in this world. That there's somebody that has to make it through the day on less than what your Starbucks order is going to cost you. That's incredible. We are among the wealthiest people. Yeah, but the cost of living, inflation, you know, no. We are still amongst the wealthiest people. If you slept in a bed last night, if you had a roof over your head last night, let me tell you, you are amongst the wealthiest people in this world. We talked about this last week. We talked about how sometimes we have to, even if we consider ourselves poor, it's okay to sometimes give out of your poverty, that everyone can give something. God wants us to care for the poor. God wants us to care for those that are in need, those that can't give us back. Oh man, I really want to preach, but I only got a few more minutes left. The last one is A. So you got the T. T is for what? Tongue. E is for empathy. Empathy, care for people. A is for avoiding sin. If you were to keep your tongue locked up, if you were to be empathetic toward those that are in need, and if you were to A, avoid sin, I mean, we'd be in a much better place. This is what he writes. He writes, religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphan and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. To keep yourself from being polluted by the world. You know, we talk a lot about pollution, and it's a real thing. There's a lot of pollution out there, and we talk a lot about climate change, but I believe that there's a climate change that happens on the inside that we need to be careful with even more. I believe that this world is out to pollute you. It is out to pollute me. And the Bible says you need to stay away from the pollution of this world. That the worship that God accepts as pure and faultless is that we care for the poor, but that we also keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. Keep yourself from being polluted by the world. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. I love the way the author of Hebrews just separates those two. He says, listen, my brothers and sisters, there's two things in your life that you need to watch out for. There's sin, blatant sin that the Bible calls sin. You stay away from that mess. But there are also things that will hinder your walk. That aren't necessarily sin, right? Paul says that all things are lawful for me, but not everything is convenient. That's what Paul said. You can do a lot of things. There's a lot of things that you're okay to do as a Christian even, right? There's a lot of things, but not all that stuff is beneficial. Not all that stuff will help you. And if it doesn't help you, it's actually probably hindering you. Probably hindering your walk. Probably hindering your walk. And we as Christians, we need to be careful that we're not polluted by the world. Let me tell you an experience I had. Maybe you've heard of a singer by the name of Mark Anthony. Anybody here ever heard of Mark Anthony, right? Mark Anthony, I mean, the man has an enormous voice, has an amazing voice. And for me, it helps the fact that he's Puerto Rican also. So I'm like, yeah, all right, Mark. But he has such a unique voice. His voice sounds like it's just a regular voice, but all of a sudden he belts it out. And you're like, oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, Mark Anthony, I happen to believe that pretty much every Puerto Rican Christian has prayed for him at least once in their life. They're like, Lord, we need you to turn him into a worship leader, Lord. If you're Puerto Rican, you know what I'm talking about. We've prayed for Mark Anthony because, man, the day he drops a worship album, it's just over. Like, just his passion, the way he sings, the way he belts it out, just everything about that little dude. I mean, it's just amazing what he does. And I, like many other Puerto Ricans, I'm attributed to being a Puerto Rican. I, like every other Puerto Rican, I listen to Mark Anthony. And I'll tell you, one time, for a couple of weeks straight, all I did was going into work, coming back home from work, all I did was listen to Mark Anthony. Like, Mark Anthony going, Mark Anthony coming. And I'm like, just, you know, every song, his music is amazing. His singing is amazing. And I'm just rocking out to Mark Anthony. Every, you know, at least a 30-minute drive there, at least an hour a day. I was spending with Mark for like 3-4 weeks. At the end of those 3-4 weeks, I'm driving home and I'm noticing that I'm upset. I'm noticing I don't feel well, like something, like I'm angry, I'm irritated. And nothing happened at work. Work was fine. Nothing happened with my spouse. That was fine. I didn't have any trouble with anybody. The only thing I was doing different was that I was listening to Mark Anthony. That was different from my routine over the last few weeks. Now, I'm going to be real with you. It's not a sin to listen to Mark Anthony. It's not a sin. There's nowhere in the Bible where the Bible says, thou shalt not listen to Mark Anthony. Like, the Bible doesn't say that. Or thou shalt not listen to secular music. The Bible doesn't say that. But, again, it goes down to that. All things are lawful, but not everything is convenient, right? It's lawful for me to have steak every day, but it's not convenient. It's not beneficial. There's going to be some health risk to that. And spiritually, in my spirit, I felt a certain type of way when I got home. And you know what? In that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit come back and say, hey, Rob, just take a moment and listen to those songs. Listen to the music that you're listening to and you're singing along to. And I started realizing every song that Mark Anthony sings, every single song is about infidelity, is about, you know, I'm with her, but I'm thinking about that other one. Or like, you know, it's like all sorts of messed up stuff. And I'm thinking, and here I am participating with this, singing alongside of him, lyrics that I really don't even believe, that shouldn't be part of my vocabulary. Like, that shouldn't, as a believer, I should not have that. And you know what I said? Oh, no, sorry, Mark, I can't. We got to, you know, have a little more distance between us two. And you know what? The truth is, I love my brother Mark, but let me tell you, homie's on his fourth marriage. I wonder why. Maybe he needs to start changing his own music. Like, maybe he needs to stop listening to that stuff. He's on his fourth marriage, and man, the little girl he has with him now is 23, and he's like 54 years old. You know, I'm just saying, like, something ain't right about that, brother. Like, you know, you need to, I guess, you know, you didn't really get over J-Lo. But anyway, listen. Sometimes we need to realize that not everything is good out there for us. It's not that it's a sin, but it's just that it gets me polluted. It gets me a little dirty. It causes spots in my outfit that I just don't want. You know, the Bible says that God is coming, that Jesus is returning for a bride that is indeed spotless. And while we'll never be perfect this side of heaven, I want you to know that it is important that we say, no, wait, there's some things that in my life I just can't allow. And maybe for you it's not music and it's something else. Whatever it is, just don't let anything pollute you. If anything, we want to get away from sin. He says that, you know, religion that God would accept or worship that God would accept is that type of worship that, you know, is quiet a lot of times, don't talk a whole lot, is that kind of faith and worship that is empathetic, and it's that kind of worship that just avoids sin altogether. I don't need that mess in my life. It's not about being a legalist. It's not about saying everything is sin. It's all about just avoiding it. And this is not Rob saying it. This is James saying it. And if you're mad at this, let me tell you, don't get mad at me. Get mad at the Holy Spirit for inspiring James to write this in Scripture. As you wake up tomorrow, I want you to consider your tea. I want you to consider your tongue. I want you to consider the words you're going to say that day. How are you going to bless people? In fact, it might be good before you say anything to anyone. Why don't you start your day by blessing someone with that tongue? Even if you have to text somebody, if that's the first thing you do, like even just practice. Let me be nice to someone before I go to my nasty self. At least let me do one nice thing so that at least I can punch the car for Pastor Rob. No, let's be a different people. Let's be a people that, you know what, we are starting to bless people. We're starting off with a blessing. Let's be people that look at our bank accounts and we say, oh man, I'm noticing there's a lot of Netflix, a lot of Starbucks here. I'm noticing there's a lot of Hulu, a lot of stuff. I'm not noticing a lot of missions giving. I'm not noticing a lot of giving to the poor. Let me just change that. Maybe I need to change a subscription, and maybe I need to bless some other people. Why? Because the Bible says that if you give to the poor, God will give it right back to you. I want the blessing of the Lord in my life. Maybe I need to cancel those subscriptions, and maybe I need to redirect those funds. And I need to avoid sin. You know, maybe we need to take inventory. What am I watching on TV? Who am I listening to? What am I listening to on the way to work? Like, how is this helping me? Is this helping me avoid sin, or is it helping me get closer to sin? Listen, these days, I'm going to be real with you. Even you could barely watch the news with it, like, leading you to sin. I can go on and on, but I just want you to think about your tea. Why? Because God wants to show his glory through you. Because God wants to show what he can do in the life of someone who obeys him. I want people to look at my life and say, what a blessed man that is. I want people to look at you and say, what a blessed woman she is. I want people to look at you, what a blessed dad, what a blessed mom, what a blessed child. Why are they so blessed? Well, it turns out something about tea. They started obeying God in a radical way. They stopped listening to the word of God and they started doing the word of God. And they said, no, I'm going to watch my tongue. I'm going to care for the poor. I'm going to be empathetic, and I am going to avoid sin in my life. If you want the blessing of the Lord, I don't say that that's how you get it. James says it, and he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. He wrote that inspired by the Holy Spirit. God is telling you, that's how I can bless you. That's how I can bless you. That's how I can make a difference in your life. Why? so that God can showcase his glory. Oh, so that God could showcase his glory. I don't know about you, but I want to be God's trophy. I want to be the trophy. He says, you see that trophy right there? I got it. That's the trophy. You see that trophy right there? You see New Walk Church? You see why they're so blessed? Because they're not just hearers of the word of God. They're doers of the word of God. Amen. And I promised 11:15, and I've already disobeyed. Let's pray.